problem.
All right.
So right there, we can cut that off. Did that work okay for you?
Yeah, you know, some parts are better than others. I think when I'm actually imparting information, a couple of the flub-ups, I don't know.
Going out to the bus?
Yeah, that's probably an area that we could trim.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. I just, you know, I get going on something, and it's like, okay, what was the point I was trying to make here? But yeah, you asked about, you know, creating clones, and I've heard that accusation before. I'm so glad that you brought it up. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It may seem like clones at the beginning because everybody starts out doing the fundamentals.
Right.
But until those things really become second nature, the art just will never appear if people are struggling with the fundamentals. And unfortunately, that's the problem with so many of these guys, is they think they only need to go once, and they're going to get it. And the truth is that nobody gets it by going once, you know. An example that I've used before talking to people is, you know, would you get into an airplane with a guy who's only had one lesson?
And not by choice.
and like I said, you know, the results aren't quite as dire as for a mobile DJ, but frankly, to me, they are, because you're dealing with somebody's life, even if it's not, you know, life and death that we're talking about. You know, a wedding especially is an event that people dream of for years and plan for years, and it is almost, to me, as much a tragedy as a plane crash if it falls short for those people.
I think the sad part is, well, not sad, actually, it might be kind of a good thing in retrospect, is that most of the clients also don't know what they don't know. So they
very true.
They have that DJ, and it could have been so much more, but they have no idea how much more it could have been. So
yeah.
They walk away with, hey, you rock, we had a great time, thanks so much. And they did have fun. And I think that's where the biggest problem lies, is, and that's probably the bell curve, is the DJs out there who are good, and they put on a good show, people have fun, and they dance, and they leave. But it could have been so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was captured actually in an interview with our clients and video that I've used in Getting What You're Worth Reloaded, and also in this last seminar that I did at Mobile Pete. One song is our clients just flat out say, they just really point blank say that, you know, until we saw you, we were just going to hire the cheapest DJ who could play the best music, because they didn't know that somebody of our caliber existed.
Right.
I mean, and that is why our business was just supercharged. That's why we had Shout of Mouth, is because they had seen the DJs in the bell curve, but they had never seen somebody like me. And I know that sounds horrible, but...
No, it doesn't. I've seen
the truth.
There's and, a clear, distinct difference between people like you and people who aren't. It's just obvious. I keep... I think I may have told you this, but I keep seeing you over and over in lots of people on TV. I'll see their mannerisms and their actions and how... They are really there in the moment, and I'm like, I see Mark Farrell right there.
Well, it's the neuron sheath, and that's why when you ask, can anybody do this, and yes is the answer.
Yeah.
Especially in the mobile DJ business, because the pressure of you know, being on television or being in radio just doesn't exist as much, and DJs, by and large, you know, are already doing a pretty average or poor job So even a DJ who doesn't have any real God-given talent, if he just does the fundamentals well, he'll automatically be 100 times better than he is right now. So anybody can do this. And I mean, in terms of veterans, my gosh, I've had, you know, Randy Bartlett and Peter Mary and, you know, Jim Cerrone and you, Bill Herman. You know, we've had the top names pretty much in the workshops. And, you know, if there's anybody in the industry who is like Russell Crowe, you know, who doesn't really need training, it would be those guys. But the truth is that I pushed them to the next level, you know, and it doesn't matter, you know. Like I said, Tiger Woods has a coach, and it just doesn't matter how good you are. As a matter of fact, the better you are, the more you know you need training. And that's another study that I didn't want to bring up because it would have been another half hour. But there's a study called Dunning-Kruger.
Right.
And it talks about how if you're incompetent, you don't know you are. Because the same skill to recognize talent is lacking in somebody who's incompetent. And so incompetent people generally place themselves much higher in competence than they actually are. And the more competent you become, the more accurate your assessment is. But you grow the middle kind of knowledge, you know what you don't know. And when that happens, then you know that you have a lot more to learn.
Yeah, I've read that study before. That's a very interesting one.
I'm going to blog about it pretty soon, and I mentioned it, I think, in one song. I can't remember now, but yeah, it was a great study, and it applies to any discipline. And so that's the reason I always feel uncomfortable when I get on stage. You know, there are guys in our industry who relish being up on stage, who can't wait, who will pay to get on stage at Mobile Beat or in Atlantic City.
Right.
I'm not one of those guys. I get up there out of a sense of duty, obligation. I have never once wanted to speak at Mobile Beat. What I'm talking about is just being on stage, you know.
Okay.
It's not something that I don't I don't bask in the glow of audience applause and approval. I told Rebecca, I said, look, I do not want anybody to make a big deal out of this. I don't want, you know, some big fanfare and build up and big introduction or announcement. All I want to do is just come out, walk up on stage, and start, get done, and leave. and get fully inspire people, because one song is all about that one shot that we each have for somebody's one major life event, bar mitzvah, wedding, anniversary, birthday party, whatever. For them, it's one shot, one song. It's that clip that I use in the workshop from Walk the Line. So I really tried to impress upon everybody in that audience that they have one shot. And I used it as a larger metaphor for not just the one shot that you have for your clients, but every announcement you make for your clients, every song that you play for your clients, everything. And then beyond that, your life, your occupation, you know. And I told everybody pretty much flat out, it wasn't a rah-rah session for sure. Need to make it maybe a little bit more fun. But I just, right in the middle, I just said, you know, if this isn't your passion, for God's sakes, quit. Get out. Do something that is, because life is short. And People ask me, you know, why are you wasting your time on DJs? You know, why don't you could be making three times as much going to the corporate market. You could be the guy that's charging $1,000 a day teaching speaking skills. And my answer always comes back to this, just this one thing. It's not my passion. The mobile DJ industry is, and it has been. And I wish there was some way to get around that, but there just isn't. I don't know if you've seen the video clip that I've just put it on my blog of me as a radio jock.
I heard that on mine today.
That part where I said, I'm a DJ. That's all I've wanted to be. That's all I've ever, you know, whatever I said.
Right.
It's true. From the time I got that tape recorder to now, all I've ever wanted to do is be a DJ. And when I became a mobile DJ, and found the disrespect that was rampant from locations to wedding planners to people in general, I was astonished. I was astounded. I was dumbfounded. Because here I was with all of this entertainment experience and background, working for major entertainment companies like Disney, actually DJing the vice president of entertainment for the Disney company worldwide. I DJed his daughter's and his son's wedding reception. And he gave me, this is a guy who knows entertainment, he gave me the best compliment I've ever had in my life.
What was that?
Right in the middle of his son's wedding reception, people were dancing and having a great time and such, and he was standing next to the DJ booth, and one of his guests came up to rave about how much fun they were having, and this is the best wedding ever, and all that sort of thing. And he says, you want to know why you're having such a great time? And she says, well, yeah, you know, we're dancing and so. He says, no. And he points to me. He says, this guy right here, this is why everybody here is having a fabulous time. Now, that could come from just about anybody, and I would be pretty happy. But knowing what this guy knows, I mean, not only was he vice president for Disney Corporation Worldwide Entertainment, mm-hmm. but after he retired from Disney, he produced the halftime shows, two or three halftime shows for the Super Bowl. He's a guy who knows entertainment. I've never gotten that qualified of a compliment before in my life.
Wow.
I've had a guy who was a television station manager. His son got married, and he gave me a very high compliment too. But wow, I was blown away by that. What was I talking about though? Why did I bring that up?
Don't ask me questions about what happened 10 minutes ago.
Oh, so I was talking about just I've never wanted to be anything else, and when I mean, like I said, I've had all of this major entertainment experience and knowledge and been on stage and taught DJs. I've done all this stuff, and then I become a mobile DJ, and some 20-something-year-old wedding planner is telling me whatever she's telling me. You know, I've been paid, you know, $3,000 just to do a 30-second commercial, for God's sake, and to have somebody say that, you know, no DJ is worth whatever, or trying to get a table set up, or being told where to set up, and it's not next to the dance floor. I mean, all that kind of stuff, that disrespect that DJs get has always driven me crazy. If there's one reason that I'm so passionate about legitimizing our industry, it comes down to that. It comes down to I want DJs to be respected entertainers, and they deserve to be. And it all it's going to take is just a bit of a shift in attitude, a little bit of training, some application, and we will go from, oh God, it's the DJ, rolling eyes, to, wow, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a mobile DJ. I want to be a wedding DJ. Like I said at the very beginning of our interview, I am proud of being a DJ. Every manifestation of what I've done as a mobile or as a DJ, I'm proud of that word, disc jockey. It's what I wanted to do from the time I took that first telecommunications class in high school, and if you really think about it, dig down deep, probably from the time I was in my little fort, you know, which was a sheet hung draped around a ping pong table in my garage where I set up my tape recorder, and I used to record my shows as a 9-year-old. That's how long I've wanted to be a DJ, and so when people tell me that go into the corporate market or I could be a $10,000 a pop speaker, you know, motivational speaker someplace, my answer is, yeah, well, maybe someday, but for right now, this is my passion. DJs like me who would like to get a little respect and maybe provide for their families, you know, instead of having to scrape by or having to do something else that they hate to do.
Right.
When their passion is entertaining, being a DJ, DJ should be able to do that. It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be difficult. Some of the top people in our industry shouldn't struggle to earn a living as a special event DJ. But they do, and I know they do, and it drives me absolutely crazy because they're taking all of these skills, all of this thought, all of this care, all of this talent from staging to directing to music knowledge, and everything that I wrote in my blog about today and more. And people expect to pay what? $400 or $500 for that?
Right.
For a lifetime of experience? It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, Neil. It's wrong. And if I can get those 300 people, we'll change this. We'll change this. And that's the real challenge for me, is to find those 300 people who have the same passion that I do, who want to do this, who want to provide for their families completely. And I swear to God, if he wills it, this is going to happen, because I'm not giving up. I live in an RV so that I could do this. And so we're going to be traveling around this country, and we have, I don't know, 20 or so workshops. And every chance I get to talk to a group of DJs, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a revised version of Shout of Mouth, or maybe one song or something that is a little shorter, a little bit more concise, and see if I can't attract people who are as passionate about this as I am. And you know what?
What?
Bottom line, if there are not 300 DJs out there who are as passionate as I am about being a DJ, then I'll have my answer, and I suppose I will move on. Which would be excessively sad to me.
I can
ramble on for days.
I do understand your passion. I do. Let me rephrase it. I see your passion, and I can feel how much you care about this industry and helping DJs help themselves to be the best that they can be so that they can provide for their clients the very best that they can have for their special events.
Yeah. It's true.
It's good stuff.
Okay. Gosh, I love you, man. Thank you so much. That was cathartic. I should send you a check. What do you charge, doctor?
I like doing that stuff. The good part is there was no way for me to turn off recording, so we got all that last stuff too. Not that we'll necessarily use it, but you've got some good stuff in there.
You do whatever you think is good, and I trust you.
Fair enough. All right, my friend. Well, safe travels to you both, to you all three, since I hope Bozo's not too jealous and doesn't hate me now.
Yeah.
Let me go see what Miles is destroying upstairs. And
yeah, give him a big hug and kiss for me.
Will do, and we'll see you very soon.
All right, man, I love you. And
love you too, man.
Thank you so much for getting me to do this.
Well, thanks for doing it.
I'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.